It's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation in Canada. September 30th, as I speak. The first time this event has been officially designated as a national holiday by the Government of Canada. It's not being observed as a holiday where I am, in Toronto, in Ontario, under provincial jurisdiction. But it's an important day. It's a time we should reflect and think about some things, and we should have some ideas, I believe, about action. And the news is full today. Broadcast schedules are full of programming about Indigenous culture and events and history and colonialism's impact on them. And news events of the day related to ceremonies or gatherings and so on. There's also a great discussion of it's a time to do something. And you might wonder, what can I do? And I have some ideas. And maybe you have some ideas, but I'll share with you some of mine that I've already expressed to the government, the federal government, through my member of parliament. And maybe this will be helpful or instructive or at least of some interest to you. So I'll call this another of my ad hoc, ad lib, extras outside the regular season of crosstalk. So I'm Paul Cross. You won't hear this on the news. On the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, we're wearing our orange t-shirts. Hopefully one that came from an organization that is directly supporting an Indigenous endeavor, project, organization, and not a corporate orange product. I'm wearing one that came from a neighborhood store that is very active on social justice and race issues. And it's directly in support of a First Nations and Indigenous campaign. I have another that came from the Every Child Matters March, distributed by the Toronto District Council Fire on July 1st. And we contributed financially to the Toronto Council Fire. There's an organization right in our neighborhood, just near the subway station, for Native youth. We've contributed financially there. We've participated in various events. And I put some of my thoughts in writing to my member of parliament. I did that on July 5th, just a few days after the march. And I'm going to share some of those ideas here. First, I want to talk about a follow-up message I sent to the MP while I was waiting for a response. And this is a practice I've been taking into class, and I've been encouraging in other places where I can. First of all, when we are going to use Indigenous names, people, places, in the news, in a land acknowledgement, in a story that is meant to be read by a reader, whether that's in print or online, or on a screen, in a news item on TV, I'm recommending and I'm requesting and I'm asking if levels of government wouldn't consider this. When you show the proper name, please give the person receiving the story a phonetic representation of how to pronounce that. This comes from my background working in radio, and of course in radio news, and we have to be able to pronounce names, people from all different cultures and languages all over the world. To me, it's a fundamental measure of respect, learning how to pronounce someone's name. I'm asking that we take that move that forward, and we include that so someone receiving information from us that involves an indigenous name knows exactly how to pronounce it. I did get a response from an assistant to my member of parliament to that, suggesting they thought that was a great idea, that they would take that to the minister for Indigenous Affairs, and that they would let me know about the response. Now, that was in August, and I have not had any follow-up to that. But here are the points I've suggested and am suggesting that I think other people might pursue that might be helpful. First of all, when I wrote the letter, it was very much on my mind the discovery of more bodies of Indigenous children in unmarked graves at what used to be residential schools, which, of course, we know, I think we can appropriately call prisons. So the first point I asked of my Member of Parliament is to fully fund the costs of searching for and locating and identifying Indigenous children who died at residential institutions. In keeping with the message of the representations of the Toronto Council fire of the July 1st event, that's the Every Child Matters March, and consistent with the position of other First Nations leaders, I say in the letter, the resources should be provided to Indigenous organizations so they can conduct the work. Second, fund and promote a search for the surviving employees or officers of residential institutions, and where there is evidence, bring criminal prosecution. This investigation should not be conducted by the RCMP. The United Nations might provide some guidance on how an investigative body or commission might be established and conducted. The RCMP has its hands in far too much misuse, abuse, mistreatment, I should say, of Indigenous people. Third, we should never again hear about chronic issues with water quality in First Nations communities. Fully fund the cost of equipping all needing communities with the treatment and delivery systems they require. This is beyond urgent and has been for many years. Jurisdictional questions are not relevant, I'm suggesting here. Take immediate action on this basic human need. I thought we might hear more about the issue of drinking water supply, household water, during the federal election campaign. How quickly we move on and think about things that have virtually no real meaning to anybody. Fourth, stop fighting the plaintiffs in the Jordan's principal case. Pay the compensation. Just one day before the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, a court in Ottawa ruled against the government's attempt to have that case overturned. I'm not going to get into all the legal terminology and such. I'm going to try to stick to the point. The court told the government, no, we're not going to block that ruling that says you need to pay children and families compensation up to $40,000 each for their experience in essentially the child welfare system, for the trauma and troubles they had. And this is essentially the Jordan's principal case, which says that the child who needs social service should be provided that service when and where they need it, not to be taken somewhere else out of jurisdiction by some government fighting with another level of government or community over who should provide the service and who should pay for it. At its essence, provide service for a child who needs service where and when they need the service. Now, concurrent to that, court case. There's another ruling in Ottawa, which says the government, the federal government, has been told you need to go ahead and pay the compensation to survivors of the residential school system. We're not going to overturn that decision either. Stop fighting it and pay up. I'm a little disappointed in people with titles, elected people in the federal government, that they haven't been able to make it clear by today on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation that they will stop fighting Indigenous people, Indigenous children on those cases and pay the compensation. Point five. Establish a First Nations first approach to issues related to land use, treaty obligations, environmental impacts, social services, legal reform, implementation of the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, those of the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women Inquiry, and wherever competing interests are at play. Settle it in the interests of First Nations first. I go on to say, for far too long, we've been both deceived and at the same time ignorant about what has really gone on in what we call Canada and what unspeakable wrongs have been done to the people who were here first. The lid is off now. The lies are being exposed. It's the responsibility of those of us who are here now to start to make the change. I would ask your government to take leadership on this. Jurisdictional issues are not relevant to people who need help. A leader can take action and, if necessary, apply legal means later where other levels of government, countries, or national institutions, international institutions, should be held accountable and responsible. What Canada has done, I say, including under legislation with royal assent, includes crimes against humanity. As we in general begin to recognize this, we must start to act quickly. It may be necessary to recall Parliament this summer. Yes, I was writing this in the summer. Of course, Parliament was not recalled. We ended up getting an election. And I've suggested further that while the issues I raise here most critically do require federal government action, I'm also going to copy this letter to provincial and municipal counterparts. Because I think it's important to share information and deliver messages consistently, and we all have roles to play in making the necessary change. People often ask, what can I do? People who think about it say, what can I do? Well, I think you can communicate with your federal member of parliament and tell them things like this. You can tell them, it's not acceptable to me that people in Indigenous communities don't have proper drinking water. I can't imagine that, living that way. Can you just make sure to fix this? It's not a lack of resources. It's a lack of political will to make it happen as a priority. And these other issues. It's regrettable I have received no response or even acknowledgement of my letter sending those points to my member of parliament, who was re-elected and continues to be a sitting member of the Liberal government in Ottawa. But we don't stop just because we don't get the answer we want the first time, right? When things are important. I'm really impressed and pleased with the performance of some of our broadcasters today. The national broadcaster, the CBC, is running some really interesting and worthwhile and I'm going to say valuable programming. Introducing us, I would say, to dozens of indigenous leaders, activists, artists, teachers, historians, most Canadians otherwise would never hear of. Bringing new content, rebroadcasting older content. I saw the part of the documentary this afternoon featuring Tanya Talaga, her story following up Seven Fallen Feathers about the seven First Nations Indigenous teenagers who had to come from remote communities to go to high school in Thunder Bay and died in Thunder Bay, mostly found in the rivers. Virtually no investigation. An inquest that was abusive toward their families. Some really valuable and thought-provoking and important content being played. I know some radio stations are promoting local efforts they're doing. Some are promoting national campaigns that have been done by the parent companies. I had a class today. It's not a holiday where I am. I wish I'd had more time to hear things in real time and absorb what's being done, what's being reported, what's being said, what are the messages coming out. Everybody who feels a concern can do something. That's my point. It might start with something as simple as writing a letter or writing a letter about something you've heard someone else suggest that you think maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I'll say so too. That's what I want to say today. But you won't hear this on the news.